If you ever get the opportunity to go to Rome and visit the catacombs, you'll see that there is a tremendous amount of very early Christian art that has been preserved in the catacombs. And one of the most common figures you'll see in the art is that of, it's not exactly a stick figure, but it's a very simple figure that either has arms raised like this or arms held like this. And the name of that figure is the orans figure. And that simply comes from the Latin word orans that means praying. So when you see in ancient art someone that's doing this or this, it simply is communicating that that person is praying. And of course, that's why the priest at Mass says the prayers with hands like this. And, that's the symbol of prayer, and it has been for many, many centuries, even predating Christian times. We also have an example of that in the first reading, where Moses goes up on the hill. He's watching the battle taking place down below. And the scripture tells us that as long as his hands are raised, the battle goes well. When his hands fall down below, or, when his hands are lowered, the battle goes poorly. We could say, well, that's kind of a strange thing. He holds up his hands and it goes well. He puts them down and the battle goes poorly. No, what's being communicated is, as long as he's praying, as long as he is strong in prayer, things are going well. They're winning the battle. But when he grows tired and fatigued and his hands droop and therefore stops praying, it's symbolic here, then things go poorly. In the gospel, Jesus tells his disciples a parable about the necessity for them to pray always without becoming weary. And I can assure you, try holding your hands like this for a long time. When the prayers are long, it gets a little bit difficult to keep your hands up in the air. Anyway, I think there are two main difficulties that we face when it comes to prayer. There may be a whole host of others, but I think these are two key difficulties. The first is that we struggle to really believe that prayer is effective. And the second is that we don't usually think about prayer as something that is supposed to be ongoing and constant. Now, why would I say that we struggle to believe that prayer is effective? Because I hear the way people talk about prayer, and I fall into it sometimes myself, saying something like, well, now I guess all we can do is pray. Right? A difficult situation comes up. The first thing we do is try to figure out how we're going to make it right by our own strength. And then when we find out that it's beyond our control and there's nothing we can do, then we get this sort of resigned and defeated tone and say, well, I guess it's in God's hands. Guess what? That's where God wanted it to be from the very beginning, in his hands. Not that we would turn to God as a last resort, but that we would have brought it to God from the very beginning. Sometimes we're saying, basically, yeah, I'll say a few prayers, but chances are nothing is going to happen. And then, of course, we're not really surprised when nothing happens, because we were praying expecting that nothing would happen. That's not praying with faith. Now, praying with faith doesn't always mean you're going to get exactly what you ask for. But the person who prays in faith and listens for God's response doesn't need to have their prayer answered exactly in the way they envision. Because when they pray with faith and they listen for God's response, they're willing to see God's response whatever it may be. Now, it is true. Sometimes there are situations in life where there is nothing that we can do other than pray. But there are two different ways of approaching that. One way would be to say, okay, Lord, there's nothing I can do here but pray, but I am going to pray and I'm going to storm heaven until I see something happen. Because you are faithful, Lord, and I know that you hear my prayers, and I know that you want what is best for me. I know that you want to make this situation right. So I am going to pray and pray and pray and open my heart with complete faith and trust and confidence that you are going to answer. The other way is to say, I guess I'll just say a prayer for it. Okay, I think you get the point here. When is prayer going to become the first thing that we do instead of the last? When are we going to start turning to God first, having God be, or God's voice be, the primary voice we listen to instead of the very last? I think part of it is we have to become really convinced that turning to God first will be most fruitful. That's going to be the best thing that there could possibly be for us. And not just when we have problems. God doesn't just want to hear from us when there's trouble. God wants to hear from us in all the different points of our life, all the things that are going on. And that brings us to that second trouble about our thinking of prayer as something that is ongoing and constant. Because a lot of people just think about saying prayers, right? We're taught that we got to say our prayers every day. And that's good. We should be praying every day. But it's dangerous for us to think about prayer as one more item on our to-do list for each day. And then after we've said a couple Our Fathers and Hail Marys, we can check that off and be done with it. That isn't the dynamic of prayer that God wants. God wants us to be praying almost like we're breathing. We know the necessity of breathing, but we don't wake up in the morning and say, oh yeah, I am supposed to breathe today. Take a few deep breaths and say, I got my oxygen for the day and I'm done. No, obviously breathing is ongoing. We need that continuous supply of oxygen if we're going to keep living. Prayer is like that supply of oxygen. We need that prayer in order for our spiritual life to continue. Because prayer is one of our main means of welcoming the Holy Spirit into our soul. And that Holy Spirit is the very source of our life. How do we do it? How do we get to where we turn to God first? How do we get to where we're constantly mindful about God's presence? Well, practice. It takes practice because it's a habit that has to be formed. And I'm pretty sure that we know how to form habits because we've all done it. We all have habits. We know that it's constant repetition and we keep trying. When we're trying to form good habits, we just keep trying. Well, maybe at the end of the day, we can look back and say, how many times was I actually mindful of God's presence today? 3 times? Tomorrow, I'm going to strive for 4 times. And then at the end of tomorrow, if we say, oh, it was only 3 times, again, we say, I'm going to try again for 4 the next day. We just keep trying to establish that habit of turning to God first and remaining constantly in connection with God. But see, here's where that thought about saying prayers can be dangerous too. Because we think that being in a place of prayer only means getting down on our knees and praying the rosary or being mindfully, you know, thinking about God. And then we say, well, what about all these other things that I have to do today? I can't just sit in the church all day, you know, thinking about lofty things. Mother Teresa says, prayer does not require you to interrupt your work, but to continue the work as if it were a prayer. That's some very beautiful and profound wisdom. We don't have to stop everything to pray, although sometimes we should be doing that too. But we are invited by God to make our life a prayer. Invite him into every circumstance, whether it's a problem or not a problem. Invite the Lord in, that we can be mindful of his presence there. And when we're mindful of God's presence with us and the fact that he is the source of our help, things in life will go much, much better. Finally, this is the last time that I'm going to say anything about the upcoming election. I have already spoken about the necessity of forming our conscience according to the teachings of Christ and the Church. I've already said how we as Catholics have something really good and valuable to offer in the public sphere, especially when it comes to the truth about the dignity of human life. I've already spoken about issues of intrinsic evil and how we must oppose agendas and policies that promote intrinsic evils. And I've spoken about how, in the end, we must just do our best and trust God. So the final thing that I want to say is that we must pray. And we've got to pray fervently, not only between now and the election, and not only if, you know, the person you don't want to win wins, whoever that is. We have to pray before and after, and not just pray like, well, I guess now all we can do is pray. That's not how we pray. No, we pray and say, Lord, here is the unfolding of history. Whatever happens, I'm going to trust in you. And I'm going to pray. I'm going to get on my knees. And I'm going to keep praying faithfully with expectation. As the widow in the gospel prays, she is persistent because she knows that she will get an answer to her prayer or to her perseverance. One of our most important duties as citizens, and especially as Catholics, is to pray. Not weak, little, timid prayers, but pray with the strength that God gives us. Because God wants to bless us. God wants to bless our land. And if we persevere in prayer, then we will not only learn more and more to put God first, which is where God needs to be in our nation. But we're also going to learn to open up our souls and to open up our society to the transforming power of God's grace.